Cap and Jay Hood. Mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
He's Honey, I'm Cap. We'll talk to Porter Moser in about 15 minutes. He is the new coach of the Oklahoma Sooners.
Boomer Crooner.
And he tweeted out a cool video of him walking into the stadium for the first time, the arena. They had some big thing playing up on the video board, and it was really cool. And then Lincoln Riley, the football coach, did a big welcome for him. That was cool, too.
You know that it was the end of an era when Porter's jacket on Twitter changed his Twitter handle to Drew's Shoes. That's what it's called now.
Oh, I got to look that up. That's awesome.
You know, Porter's jacket, of course, Porter never had value of his suit jacket when he coached because he just whip it off in the first few minutes of a game.
Right.
Just whip it behind him, whatever. So Porter's jacket became a thing. And so now it's Drew's Shoes, talking about the new coach for Loyola.
Youngest coach in Division One, by the way. 29-year-old Drew Valentine. That's the brother of Bull shooter Denzel Valentine. Let's go back to the phones.
What are we talking about today?
We are talking about my partner driving to work, and he's in one lane, and the lane right next to him is a Chicago police officer who swerved slightly and then a little more and then a little more right into Hoodie's lane and almost caused an accident. And Hoodie swerved away from him rather than lay on the horn to alert him because he thought it was disrespectful to honk at a police officer. I disagree with him. I understand his perspective. Montese is on the south side. Hey, Montese, what's up?
What's up, fellas? Thanks for taking my call.
Appreciate you.
What's up, Tease?
Man, I've been a long time listening. I love you, but both of you guys, y'all do y'all thing. Cap, you the man. Hoodie, you the man. Don't get me wrong.
Appreciate you.
Let's keep it 100. Hoodie, let's speak this language, man. Let's keep it 100.
Yes.
Anytime you in that situation, I agree with the first two bins. Paperwork got to be in order before you do anything with the police.
Right.
You got to understand that.
Yeah.
Depending on where this happened at. It happened on Lakeshore Drive. It's a little bit more friendly right there. So it depends on where it happened at.
It was right by it was right by the museum. So you know what I'm talking about, right? That lane before you go out.
I'm hood. I know what you're talking about because I know exactly where you at. Believe you me.
Right.
But as you know, we tend to not, even if we are in the right, police officer in that form of fashion. Now, by you not honking your horn, in my personal opinion, you did the right thing. Now, if it got to a point you're about to take out somebody, that's unfortunate. But I do, in some situations, honking that horn, the cop can feel disrespected, and it can put you in a position that you don't want to be in. So, like you said, before you do any of that, you better make sure your papers in order, because if your papers ain't in order, whether you're right or wrong, you might be spending the night somewhere or by yourself in a situation.
Yeah, my cell phone's ringing. I'm coming to get my guy.
Right. So with that being said, you know what I mean? If you're going to honk the horn at the police officers, you better have your paperwork ready and have your cell phone together just in case. I'm just saying.
Thanks, Tease. Appreciate you.
Well,
thanks for the call.
What about that, Mellor?
I think it's the other caller, Ben, too, was kind of insinuating the same thing. It's interesting to me to think about that. You're in your own lane, and before you determine whether or not you're going to make a quick decision and beep the horn, you need to run through the Rolodex. Is my insurance card in my glove box?
Do I have my license with me?
I think I put it in there. All right, did it expire last February?
Yeah, by that point, you've
exactly
taken out two cars.
Yeah, I mean, that's, well, in my spot, there's a lot to think about.
Yeah, and I think it's legit. It's a fair point. And the worst thing you want is to be pulled over and then explain your situation and get a police officer's like, I wasn't in your lane. What the hell are you talking about?
99.9% of the police officers,
sure,
would, just like the guy that called in, would go, absolutely honk at me. That's on me swerving.
That's because I've never done it before, and I just thought, I don't want to get his attention. I hope that he realizes he's in my lane. I'm just glad that it wasn't so much oncoming traffic going the other direction that I could have swerved into an accident, but I didn't. I'm blessed to not have gotten in an accident, but eventually I believe the officer straightened out, got into my lane, and just zoomed off.
Right.
So I just didn't want to have that occurrence.
Yeah, and I understand the perspective. I do. But I think 99.9% of them are trying to get to work. They're trying to stay safe. They're trying to pay their mortgage, get their kids through school. You're doing the same thing. And they'd be like, hey, man, sorry. I was grabbing my coffee or whatever, or, you know, the radio went off.
Yeah.
I had whatever. Whatever the reason was, all good.
Just
no
gonna
big deal.
Just going to say, I've watched The Wire like 5 times.
Yeah. A great show.
And I can also envision a scenario where the officer, as he throws on the disco lights, you pull over with the club as he comes to your window, smashes out your tail light, and is like, you got a tail light off, buddy. Why don't you step out of the car?
That's like in Walking Tall. Remember that movie?
Yes, I do.
Buford Pusser.
Well, that's a nightmare.
You got a busted taillight.
Yeah,
you got a busted headlight. Yeah.
That's
windows cracked.
That's a nightmare.
That was a great movie.
Yeah. For some.
Let's go to Richard. He's on the south side as well. Hey, Richard.
Good morning, fellas.
Morning. Hi, Rich.
First time caller, long time listener. Appreciate you guys. You guys doing a hell of a job.
Appreciate you.
So what do I do in that spot, Rich? You ever been in that spot?
Yes, sir. I have. I definitely have. I had a police officer come over in my lane. And, yes, I laid on the horn. And it was two police officers in the vehicle. And when I drove by them, they were looking at me in shock. You know, but the whole situation is, hey, the rules of the road are the rules of the road. You know, you have to abide by those rules. And no matter if you're wearing a police officer badge or whoever you are, you can endanger people. So, yeah, pay attention. That way you won't get blowed at.
There you go. Thanks, Richard. Appreciate it, man. Keith's on the north side. Hey, Keith.
Yeah, I think what you do is, in that case, because I had it happen to me on 55th and Garfield Boulevard, mm-hmm. where the police were swerving over into my lane.
Yeah.
I just slowed down and let him go, because he wasn't the only one that did it. There was a passenger, another driver, that swerved over in my lane. And I said, my goodness, right after the driver did it, then the police, I said, my goodness, they all drive like this over here. Mm. So I just slowed down and let them both go on, because I don't need no accident.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I agree. Appreciate it. Thanks, man.
Traffic gets complicated over there. Garfield Boulevard, that's really complicated over there with that traffic. But, yeah, that's the reason why I ask, is because I had never been in that spot where I thought, man, maybe I should blow the horn at the police.
Is that the same route you take every day, or do you take different routes?
Different routes. Depending on if I had a bad show the night before, it was like, you know what, maybe I should take this route instead. Yeah. If I felt like I didn't have a good show, I'll take a different route, home or to work.
What are you, Bill Parcells? He did the same thing. If they played poorly, he would take a different route home. And if he was driving near his house and he happened to see a cat, whatever, he would have to go all the way around the block again so that he didn't see the same cat, or the cat didn't run in front of his car.
I have some of those superstitions, yes. But again, I live in the south side, so I could take the back alleys from downtown home if I had to.
There's a will, there's a way.
I could take every back alley from Bronzeville to South Shore to be able to get home if I had
to. Are you better off? So a lot of the listeners seem to be suggesting that you should beep the horn. Is it better with a quick, soft, polite beep?
Yeah, like it.
So that you yeah.
Give us the examples now. What are you talking about?
You know, just a quick, like, you know.
Courtesy.
Yeah, courtesy. Like,
I'm
not being disrespectful, but I'm trying to get your attention. But the bad thing about that is that may not be enough. Mm. That's why you would have to go to the lay on the horn situation, right? That's to let the folks know, hey, something's going on here.
Ultimately, that is our show you just described for us. The last horn you played, mm-hmm. that's Cap. Take that!
Yeah, I feel like...
More subtle.
Yeah, if I'm doing it, hoodie, I'm more of a
courtesy. I give you a courtesy shot, but this, you know, but the guy next to me here just you know, just
oh my god, no shot, take that.
Yeah.
What about the quick double?
Yeah, that's cool.
Well, that's Danny.
Danny's the one.
You got me all wrong. I'm not a honker. Very rarely do I touch my horn.
Right.
But if I have to, you're going to hear it for a good 35 seconds. If I have to honk on you, because I rarely honk, I am going to hold it halfway down the block.
So wait a minute.
Just so you know.
Danny, if you're second in line at a stoplight, it turns green, and the person is doing whatever, flipping with their radio, their phone, whatever.
Danny hasn't weighed in.
You lay on it for 30 seconds.
Yeah, No, because I wouldn't honk there. That's not like a honkable offense. I've been that guy also that's gotten kind of lost in the moment, so I'm not going to honk at you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I'm driving and somebody cuts over and they're blatantly like not seeing me there, or they don't care, I'm going to hold that horn and I'm going to give you a good 30 seconds. Not even once you correct yourself, I'm still going to hold the horn long enough to let you know that you're a jag.
Do you know how long 30 seconds
Cap,
is?
Trust me, but that's why I say that I don't honk the horn often. I'm not a big honker.
So, see, because Danny doesn't fight anymore, that's his way of fighting.
That's it.
Because
extended horn.
The old Danny would have gotten out of the car and just like snatched the guy out of the car.
I would have pulled up in front of you, cut you off like a cop does, got out of the car, knocked on your window, and said, "What are you doing here?" Yeah,
that's the old Danny.
But so, me personally, if I was in Hoodie's situation, I would not honk at the police officer because I'm not a honker. I would do what a caller suggested earlier. I would slow down. Let the police officer do whatever he's got to do and just get out of the way. Now, my neighbor is a police officer. He texted me. He's enjoying this conversation. He said if it was him and you honked, he'd be cool with it. He'd give you the wave like, sorry, my bad, and then turn on his siren to act like he was busy.
I like that.
That's
see,
it.
See, I'm the more of the show you up kind of guy, right? Like, you've seen this a million times, right? So you are in the left lane. Someone's in the left lane. You're in the right lane. And they haven't moved yet. Well, I'll go around you to show you up more so than blow the horn. I'll just show you how slow and how dumb you are for just sitting there. I'll just go around you.
Danny and I take the same route home every day, and we're on the Edens. I can't tell you how many people are going 50 miles an hour in the left lane. I'm like, dude, really?
On their phone.
Let's go.
So what would you guys have done? This happened to me yesterday. Carmen Yerk, we're on till 2 o'clock.
You make the call.
It's no police officer, but it's very similar. I was leaving the parking structure yesterday. So I was heading north on Dearborn, right towards State Street. I wanted to make a right-hand turn on State Street. So as I was exiting the parking structure, there was a person who was in the right-hand turn lane. The light was green. As I was coming out of it, I see the light's green, and then I see the car stopped in the right-hand turn lane. And so I come up, and the light's still green, and you see the walking man counters like at 11. So, you know, you got a little bit of time.
Yeah.
But also, that's a no right-hand turn on red.
Correct.
So I do give, you know, the quick beep.
Yeah.
To let the person know, maybe they're on their phone or something. No movement. So then, you know, I get a little bit frustrated because now it's at like 8, right, the counter. Yeah. And so I was like, okay. Then I kind of look more closely, and I see the person's having a conversation with a man who's standing on the corner.
Oh, jeez.
She's in the right-hand turn lane. I want to turn right before the light goes red, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so now I'm getting a little frustrated because now I'm at, like, 4.
Yeah.
So I'm giving the long horn. And at that point, I gave a second long horn, like, when we're at, like, 2 seconds. Like, what the hell's going on here, you know?
Yeah.
Then I swerve around. And to make the right-hand turn, because she's clearly not moving.
Mm-hmm.
Then she proceeds to make a right-hand turn on a red light, and then I'm sitting at State and Lake waiting for that light to change.
Yeah.
She's right behind me. She lays on her horn for probably 30 seconds because I was beeping at her because she was stopped in the right-hand turn lane having a conversation with somebody who was at the corner, not in a car.
Jeez. See that?
People, man. All right, we talk with our...
No. You just don't stop with people.
People are crazy, man. They are. People are nuts.
That was a long story. Cap heard the beginning and the end.
I heard the whole thing, but people are nuts, man.
What?
People are literally out of their minds.
I wish you had that brevity throughout the show. People, man. Anyway.
Porter Moser's next. Take that.
You don't have to wait till you're in your car to hear what Cap and J-Hood are talking about. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
So, I've known Porter Moser a long time, man. I called his first game at Illinois State when he was playing at UIC, and I told him then, dude, your team plays connected defense better than anyone I've watched. That's awesome. And he has this rise. Then he goes to St. Louis with Rick Majerus and then to Loyola. And when he took that job was it was buried.
Yep.
It was a bad job.
Yep.
Like, all right, I'll take it, see what happens. And here we are a decade later. And I mean, you're talking about an amazing, amazing job. Sweet 16, Final Four, conference titles, tournament titles, and now he's in Norman, Oklahoma, and he's the head coach of the Sooners.
Which is so great because that story could be in a movie. Straight to DVD, but definitely could be a movie.
No question. Maybe it's a Netflix special. Porter, good morning. How are you, man?
Man, I went from a movie to Netflix, and I'm going to be on, like, Channel 99 or something. I kept on going backwards.
Hey, man, your story would be great on, like, Lifetime against the NFL, like on a Sunday at 2 o'clock. People, the housewives would love it, and the housemen would love it.
It was like when we were growing up in Chicago, you had 257 and WGN. And like channel 32, and this would have been on channel like 49.
And that's it. So now that it's all over with and you had all these different jobs opening and you get this call and you end up doing it, what was it like? Lincoln Riley, who's, you know, one of the biggest college coaches in the country, is welcoming you. Your AD is renowned as the best AD in the country, Joe Castiglio. And it's the freaking Oklahoma Sooners. What is that like?
You know, it was just a fit. I mean, like, you mentioned Lincoln. Like, Lincoln's this high-energy, young, you know, progressive coach. I mean, the whole athletic department's kind of like that. And it's just, you know, it just fit me. Just everything was about high energy, about building the family brand. And it just, there's just a lot of things. You know, it was kind of right out of the gate. Like, Lincoln was calling. Bob Stoops called. Blake Griffin called. You know, Buddy Hield. I've got Buddy Hield on FaceTime. It was just really cool, the old Sooners that were coming in. I was texting with Stacey King yesterday, and it's really cool. And that's what's hard to leave, I'll be honest with you, is that's what we built at Loyola, the former players' families, because the alumni was not connected. And holy cow, is the alumni connected now. And the friends and the alumni and the former players, the former players' families, that's what makes a program. And that will sustain. That's why I'm so fired up. It was a no-brainer that Drew got the job, because they'll continue that connectivity with Loyola. And that's what's awesome at a university is when you have that connectivity. And I found that, again, at Oklahoma, it's just an incredible level.
Coach, watching your team, Loyola, in the NCAA tournament, did the end of the tournament, the way that the season ended, determine that maybe I should make a change when it comes to my head coaching?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. You know, I said it a lot. If you look back on the Final Four year, that we're like, we can sustain this. We can get back here. And I felt that. And we only had two players from that team. Sometimes when you make a run at that level, you know, you got everybody back. Well, we had only two guys, and we kind of reinvented again the same exact way. And, you know, those end of the year, it's funny because you sit there and someday I'll look back and be excited. But I think about the Michigan. I can tell you every possession of that second half, 7-minute run that hurt us. I can tell you all the things. We got so many good shots in that Oregon State game against the zone and some different things that, you know, what we could have done better, you know. So you think like that, but I don't think like it's time. I think like my mind was racing about, all right, how do we get back there? What are the recruiting? What are we getting, you know, the pieces? And that's what my mind was to. This just came up.
So as you look forward to this new journey for the Moser family, it's a whole family thing. You went to Creighton. They don't have big-time football. You were at St. Louis U. They don't have big-time football. You're at Illinois State. They have football, but it's not Oklahoma football. You're at Little Rock. They don't have it like that. Are you yourself excited for, like, a football Saturday to go, holy smokes, man, this is awesome?
You know what? My wife and I had it because my first stop was Texas A&M. So we had it, but my kids have it. And we walked into the football – so my whole kids and all of us went into Lincoln Riley's office, which is a whole nother radio show. Oh, my God. I mean, like, you talk about the Taj Mahal of recruiting, his office. Then they walked us out on this deck overlooking the football stadium. And it's pretty cool. I think my kids were in awe because they haven't seen anything like that. And I am. I just think, you know, the buzz around – you know, they were showing us on game days, like, you know, there's 85,000 in the stadium, but they say there's another 45,000 that can't get in that are tailgating. So it's like 100, you know, and 25 out around there. And it's just that spirit's pretty cool. And, you know, we met some of the football players, and unbelievable. They came up to my kids, and they were just, it was a really cool atmosphere with the student athletes.
So you tell us about Valentine. What can we expect from Drew as a head coach from Loyola?
High energy, just his passion, his heart on his sleeve. every day pouring into the student athletes. Like, he is unbelievable at relationship building. And he's just, he's to his core, he's an unbelievable person, you know, to his core. You know, his parents, and you can see that with Denzel, they're just, they're respectful, they're confident, they're hardworking, they're humble, they're confident. I mean, they're just great human beings. But he's just, you know what he is too? He's a learner. You know, he would just sit there every meeting we ever had. I don't think I've ever mentioned this to him, or I think I've mentioned it everywhere else. I've just noticed it. Every single meeting in 4 years I had him, he had his journal, writing notes in it during our coaches' meetings. And he's a learner. He picks up stuff. And, you know, you got to be that way. I got to be that way. You got to be that way. Everyone, you got to be a lifelong learner. You got to be. I mean, I'm 52. I'm just obsessed with getting better. And he's that way at a young age. I didn't get like that until I was a little older. He's that way at a young age.
So this, we keep playing this drop.
That's Sister
Jean! That's one of your players, Ugwuok, yelling at Sister Jean during the tournament. Is she entered the transfer portal, and is she moving to Norman?
No. She pulled out. She pulled out. She's announced she's staying as a Rambler. There's nothing that's going to pry her away from the Ramblers. The one thing, as long as we don't play the Ramblers, I know she'll have a little prayer for me at Oklahoma. But as long as we don't play the Ramblers, she is. There's nothing that's going to pry that love away from that maroon and gold.
Will you two keep in touch?
Yes, absolutely. She's emailed me. We called her right away, but absolutely. And I can't say this enough about Loyola, is how unbelievable relationship I had with Steve Watson. Mm-hmm. Loyola absolutely didn't do anything wrong in this process. It's almost the contrary. How they went about it was the best I've ever been a part of. Their commitment, the way they did it, they did everything right. And that's what made it so hard. Some people say it's a no-brainer. It wasn't, because of how awesome Loyola was going about this. It just was an opportunity to play in a league that, you know, had 7 bids out of 10 this year. They average usually 6. And it was a chance to do that where it fit my beliefs and culture and building that kind of a team the right way. And I can't say enough about Loyola, Steve Watson, and the administration and how unbelievable they were, because not everybody's like that. And I found that out in this process. They were unbelievable.
What are you going to miss the most from Chicago? Is there a restaurant? Is there a place? Is there something that, oh, man, I'm going to love my new gig, I'm getting great money, all of it, I'm going to miss that?
It's truly, that's what makes Chicago special. It's all of it. It's everything. It's just not one thing. That's what makes Chicago. It's the people. It's the vibe. It's the different pockets, the different diversity, the restaurants, the Cubs, the Sox, the Bulls, the Blackhawks, the sports, the lake. I love Lake Michigan. You know, I love the people. I mean, just my kind of people is just this, you know, Bears, tailgating. I mean, it's everything. Music, live music. It's the combination of absolutely everything. But unequivocally, if you ask me what I miss the most, It's my relationships the with the players, the people at Loyola, the connectivity there, people at Loyola. I mean, that's hard. You don't get that everywhere. To where how they embraced our program, myself, that embrace in sports and the patience they had with us. They saw that we were doing it the right way and the patience. But it isn't one thing with Chicago, and that's what I tell people. It's accumulation of a lot of things that make us different, make us special.
Oh, I get it now. So that's some breaking news right there, Cap. You heard this, right? So he misses the city so much, there's going to be some non-conference stuff here. He's going to come home. It's a little 2-1 action. I know they didn't want to play you when you were here, so you might as well just...
he brings up a great point. Right. Will you have more empathy to, all right, there's a mid-major that wants to play. I was in that seat one day, and no one would play us.
Hoodie, when I see you in person, I'm going after you, man. I've been waiting for someone to ask me that question about, like, all right, now you're at that level. You're going to go on the road? I've been waiting for everyone to have that. You know what? It's crossed my mind, because I want to see a groundbreaker, you know, a groundbreaker and do that. Our first year, though, holy cow, the scheduling, it's insane. Like, we got 18 Big 12 games. We got, like, an Arkansas game, Florida. We got to go to Central Florida. We have a Big East challenge and an SEC challenge, and we're in the Myrtle Beach exempt tournament. Oh, I'm like, holy cow. And we have 5 players on our roster right now. So we're like hitting with the transfer portal, and they had so many seniors. that like it's a we got to get going. But we will. I know that. But hoodie, okay, buddy.
Well, you gotta pay the favor, man. You gotta take care of the little guy. Hey, Coach Kruger. Hey, it's Moser. What the hell, man?
Yeah.
What are you, Izzo? You gonna play anybody?
I know. Steve's calling. Steve's gonna be like, all right, come on, man, bring the Sooners to Loyola. I'm like, all right, I'm gonna wait till all the dudes are out of there, then maybe. But they're gonna keep reloading. But no, it's an interesting thought. I've thought about it. It's not gonna be this year because we have like one game left to schedule, and they'll probably schedule, Gonzaga, but.
Right. That's all right. Coach, listen. What? Hey, man. Hey, you're in the Big 12. You're in the big chair, man. Hey, three for one? Sure.
That's it.
Absolutely. They come to see you. You come to Chicago every now and then. Sure.
Hey, man, you got to send some gear this way because we're going to wear Oklahoma stuff to represent you.
I'm throwing my recruiting pitch, but, you know, it's one of five schools that are completely Jordan brand. Like it's a Jordan brand school. Everything is it's really really cool with that. So I'll send you some of that crimson Sooner red there, Cap.
We'll be ready, and I look forward to seeing you. And best to your family. And thanks for always being a great friend of our show. We're rooting for you.
All right, friends. Thanks so much. We'll see you.
All right, we'll see you. Boomer Sooner.
There you go. That's our guy Porter Moser. I love that guy. I've known him since 1986. It's a long time, man.
All right. Let's see you and I figure this out. All right. So he's in the chair. You've seen that schedule, right? You heard what he said.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
No directional schools in there.
Cap.
Like Northwest East Oklahoma State isn't available?
Cap. Well, it's Kruger. You know, he's going to schedule aggressively.
Yeah.
And it's the Big 12. You know, everyone takes a swing at you. All right? So now he gets his guys in, right? It takes a year. Now what? Now he's got a couple of years out for the schedule, right? So what does he look at? Is he called to Paul?
You know, Loyola?
Yeah. Does he call Loyola?
UIC?
Sure.
Come home, man.
I mean, it's 2-1 at the very least.
I'll come there once. You're coming to me two or three times.
I got reservations, standing reservations at Chicago Cut or whatever. I'll come once, but you got to come to Norman twice.
Correct.
We could do that, right?
We'll get that done.
Chicago State, come on in.
Yeah. You know, I'll buy you.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
All right, shot or no shot is next.
Kaplan, Jonathan Hood. Welcome, fans. This is Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the new ESPN Chicago app. That's why I say No shot with Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. That's why I
say shot, no shot, brought to you by PointsBet Sportsbook at Hawthorne Racecourse. PointsBet Sportsbook is now open. Download the PointsBet app right now and then stop by Hawthorne Racecourse and register your account. And we have a contest on Fridays. The 10th caller, 312-332-3776. You win $100 in on-site Hawthorne Racecourse wagers, $100 in PointsBet Sportsbook wagers, 4 live horse racing programs, and 4 branded gift items. It's a very nice gift package. Maybe you can make some money with it as well. Danny!
Gentlemen, let's talk some baseball. The Cubs offense has sputtered through the first week of the season.
Good morning, Danny.
Hey, Hoodie. What's up, man?
What?
Cap's asking Porter Moser to send us some Oklahoma gear. Like, I'm going to put that on. No shot.
Okay.
This is a Kansas show here.
Yeah. Wouldn't your buddy Dabo be upset if you're putting on Oklahoma gear? Go ahead, Danny.
I mean, Hoodie's a Georgia fan. He's not putting on Oklahoma gear.
Okay. I am.
Of course you are.
Because I'm a front runner.
100%.
I'm a Cubs fan.
He's my friend.
I'm a Sox fan.
Hold on a second. I've been friends with that guy for 35 years. I tried to recruit him when I was coaching.
Yes.
I've known Porter since 1985-86 season when he was in high school. He's my friend. And if he wants me to rep Oklahoma here.
He didn't ask you. You asked him.
That is true.
He didn't say, hey, Cap, nice talking to you. I'm going to send you some gear. It was more like, hey, Porter, send us some gear. We need some free gear. Send me some gear. How about some gear? We need a little gear. Get us the gear. We need the gear.
You done?
I'm just listening.
Danny.
Gentlemen, let's talk some baseball.
Wow. Hot.
The Cubs offense has sputtered. You know what I'm mad that we didn't ask Porter? I heard a rumor, right, mm-hmm. that Loyola couldn't match the Oklahoma offer because mm-hmm. they're paying Sister Jean too much. I wanted to know if that was that's factual.
Wow, she's a woman of the cloth. Jeez.
Gentlemen, the offense has sputtered. Have you not seen the donation plates at churches and synagogues? Gentlemen, the Cubs offense has
sputtered. Yes, it all goes to Sister Jean.
It all goes to Sister Jean.
Thank you,
even
guys.
At Temple Beth Shalom, that money goes to Sister Jean.
Wow. Thank you very much, guys.
Gentlemen, the Cubs offense has sputtered through the first week of the season. Chris Bryant has been their most complete hitter with another double and home run yesterday. Bryant leads the Cubs with 3 doubles, 2 home runs. He has 4 walks, which is tied for second on the team. Gentlemen, I ask you, shot or no shot, if Chris Bryant keeps this up this season, the Cubs will not be able to part ways with him.
That is a shot. Because that means that he's come around offensively. Now you got something to look at. You've seen the slumping since the 16 championship. Maybe that means he's turned the corner. So I'd say shot.
Yeah, I'm going to say shot because I think, and from what I've heard, he is more in control of his future than maybe people realize or maybe that he was at one point, and that it's not the Scott Boras show. It's the Chris Bryant, Jessica Bryant show. So, yes, shot.
All right, Danny.
Gentlemen, moving on to the Bulls. The Bulls have won 3 in a row. Vooch has been dominant. Zach LaVine has been great. He's allowing the team to blossom around him. He's kind of evolving with the new players. Shot or no shot, although these All-Stars have been playing like All-Stars, Billy Donovan deserves the most credit for the Bulls' recent winning streak.
That is a shot. You see the coaching. You see it. See, it's one thing to watch the NBA game and say, boy, that's a lot of talent. But you could see the coaching and the sea change on the ball club. And they're going to win tonight, too, because Atlanta's got a ton of guys out. That's an easy bet for your parlay, by the way. Put the Bulls in your parlay.
There you go.
For sure.
Okay.
Because Capella's out. John Collins is out, I believe. Chris Dunn is out. Gallinari is questionable. So I think they got a good shot.
Got a chance. I'm going to say shot, but when you add a player of Vucevic's caliber who gives you, what did he get, 22 more last night? He had 32 the other night.
Yep.
Like when you get a player of that caliber and add him in, and Zach LaVine has continued, what did he have? How many assists last night? 13? Like some crazy number. When you have
That's correct.
A pro like Zach who is becoming much more of a facilitator, he is willing to defer for the goodness of the team. That A, is a coach who is getting guys to buy in, and B, tip of the cap to Lauri Markkanen and Kobe White, who both have embraced their role, not starting, limited minutes, coming off the bench and giving you all they got. Yeah, that's
coaching.
Absolutely an influx of talent, but Billy Donovan's a stud, man. That was a restaurant quality hire, as you called it.
Markkanen and White have to maximize their minutes. They know they're on the bench. They got to do all they can. When they get on the floor, they have to do something positive. They have to have the plus minus has to be plus. It has to be positive. Every rebound, every assist, every open look, you got to hit it because you have to do it because Donovan looks at you and say, you're less than. You're really not part of our future.
Yep.
We got to prove him otherwise. You have to maximize your minute on the floor.
Daniel.
Gentlemen, if you follow Hoodie on Instagram, which I think you should, he's IGJ Hood. Yesterday you saw him post a picture of the Cap and J Hood show, Cap and Hoodie, at Guaranteed Rate Field. Jonathan Hood is a lifelong Sox fan. I know that means a great deal to him. So I ask you, shot or no shot, Johnny Hood? That is on the Mount Rushmore of accomplishments in your storied radio career.
It is.
Pretty freaking awesome. Pretty freaking awesome. And when we saw that picture, and Hoodie grows up a White Sox fan, Hoodie stuck at night, and he is here doing this amazing morning show. He's incredibly talented. But for a kid to grow up on the South Side and look and go, that's me. Man, hats off to you, man. That is amazing. That is awesome. Exceptionally proud to be your partner and exceptionally proud of you. That's Bob Hood, May Hood, Aisha Hood. See, I'm pretty good. They are all in your corner going, that's our guy. Proud of you.
Go ahead, Danny. What else?
That's all I got for you. I think you need a break.
That is awesome.
It is truly cool for you, Hoodie, a lifelong Sox fan, and more importantly, Cap, a season ticket holder of the Sox to be up there.
You know, I've sweated with that team through the ups and downs for at least 44 days since I bought those tickets.
How much
to have my picture up there, oh, man.
How much does that piss you off? How old are you, Hoodie?
48.
You're 48. You've been a Sox fan for 48 years. Finally, you've accomplished it. You're hanging in Guaranteed Rate Field, watching over your favorite team. Cap's been a Sox fan for 43 days, and he's up there, too.
Shows that God has a sense of humor.
Love you. All right. Are you rooting for the underdogs at the Masters? Hoodie has a very good analogy of that. If you're watching, if you're not watching, if you're maybe I'm going to watch, who are you rooting for? Be right back.
Cap. J-Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Welcome back on Cap J Hoodie, ESPN 1000. Our friend Pete McMurray listening, he said, Hoodie is correct. Never honk at a cop, ever. And by the way, love Porter Moser. His kid went to his camp for 4 straight years.
There you go.
So there you go. Thanks.
We'll be seeing Moser because, you know, he's got to stop by and get his dinner with his family.
Yeah, no question.
He'll be playing Loyola DePaul.
That's it. He'll come in. He'll have to get his pizza, he'll have to get his steaks. Hey, man, we wish him all the best.
Danny?
I love Pete McMurray, but I want to know now what makes him an expert on when to honk and not honk to a cop. I feel like there's more to that story, knowing Pete.
Because he's a radio guy.
Yeah, the way he wrote it, never honk at a cop, period. Capital letters. Ever.
Like, he's been there, he's done that, he's spent some time in the Hooskow.
Right.
Well, he's a radio guy, he knows everything. That's why McMurray could say that.
That's it.
We all know everything. Just ask us.
We play a GM in 4 different sports, 5 different teams, 5 days a week. That's it. And that's what drives those guys crazy. 312-332-3776. So are you rooting for the underdogs at the Masters? Now, I was all locked in on it yesterday. Mm-hmm. Justin Rose was 2 over, and he went from 2 over to 7 under in 11 holes. Like, eagle, birdie, par, birdie, birdie, birdie. It was like, oh, my God. I like that there are in March Madness, you this morning said when North Texas upsets Texas or Oral Roberts upsets Ohio State, it's awesome in March Madness.
Even Oregon State.
Correct.
To an extent, because you had the coach on when I was away.
Wayne Tinkle.
The reason why I asked the question is because when I asked you about the Masters and what can you sell us on the Masters, you gave us the azaleas, you gave us the grass, you gave us the food, the fare that's there, the environment.
I sent you the menu on Twitter yesterday.
It's just really awesome, right?
Yeah.
And cheap.
Did you see the Georgia peach ice cream cookie?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like $2.
Now, that was in your top 10, but you never gave me a golfer. After 10 minutes of us talking about it yesterday, there was no golfers. You know why? Because there's no Tiger. There is no compelling storyline of Tiger versus Phil at the top of the leaderboard, right?
Right.
And that's golf's problem. It's not our problem. It's golf's problem. Even though I know the top guys, like I'm a Dustin Johnson fan. He's got the perfect – that's the swing that I want. I wish I had that swing. Oh, my God. It's perfect, right?
Mm-hmm.
To see Spieth out there the same way. Spieth coming off of the Valero. But here's the thing. I don't want to see some names I don't know at the top of the leaderboard if I'm going to be invested in the Masters.
So Christian Bezuidenhout, that doesn't do anything for you.
What's the name?
Christian Bezuidenhout.
Are you having a series of small strokes?
Yeah, something like
you
that.
You all right, buddy?
Yeah.
I don't know these names.
Bernd Wiesberger doesn't do anything for you?
If Wiesberger, he's a good man. You know what? He's got a nice diner. He has a nice diner.
Very nice diner.
It's a nice cup soup. I look at these names and, like, if they're charging on Sunday, Cap, mm-hmm. I can't tune in for that. I don't know those names. And the same thing with you in March Madness. You love those upsets. But when it got to the bottom line, when it got to Gonzaga against Baylor, that's what I wanted. Because I got the favorites. I got the best of the best. And the same thing with the Masters. It's hard for me to commit if I don't know the names.
See, I look at it, and if it comes down on the back nine on Sunday, like Saturday at the Masters is moving day. That's when you really separate the pretenders from the contenders. Yeah, like Justin Rose has already bogeyed the first hole today. He was awesome yesterday, and he may be awesome the rest of the way today. But I want to see Spieth and McIlroy, and he had a bad day yesterday. I want to see the Dustin Johnson. I want to see the best of the best. Locking horns, back nine, Sunday. But I'll watch the Masters if it's Robert McIntyre against, I don't know, pick some guy you never heard of before, Hudson Swafford. I'll watch because I love golf. But I think for the average person, they've got to have Phil Mickelson against Jordan Spieth. Jordan Spieth against Rory McIlroy. Something like that.
Well, a story. Mm-hmm. Sports is based on a story.
That's
right?
Why your guy, your mean Mercedes, is such a great story.
Story. No matter how long it lasts, it's just a story.
Correct.
We know the storyline. A guy that was just toiling in the minor leagues gets an opportunity and is hitting the hell out of the baseball. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. But the same thing here with golf. How could, if golf has a story, tell me a story. Like, I'll tell you a story about Tommy Fleetwood.
Mm-hmm.
When will it happen, right? Will he ever win a major? Mm-hmm. I believe that's the story, right?
Yeah.
Number one. Will it happen today? He's two over going into today.
And he had a hole-in-one yesterday.
Will he ever get there? Will he be charging on Sunday? See, I'll tune in for that.
Mm-hmm.
But where's the built-in story here? This isn't Tiger coming off of the injury, coming off the crash, and here he comes again. It's not that.
Right.
It's just, it, to me, the story and the best of the best is the thing that's going to keep me interested. You, as a lifelong golf fan, that's just different for you because you don't care who's on the at the top.
Correct.
As long as the grass is green and you have a nice cocktail in your hand, you're enjoying the golf.
Correct.
That's just for me, yeah. So
I'm going to watch no matter who it is, but I get it. I totally get the people like, yeah, I need a, like you, you need a story. But I think there's some really cool things, but the Masters for me is just different.
See, you talk about names that people know, right? People should know this. Like Mickelson's three over coming in today. Dustin Johnson, I told you, I love his swing. Bubba Watson's two over. Koepka, a name that we should all know. Schwartzel won a major. Bernard Langer, those are names that we know. Sink. But they're not at the top of the leaderboard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they might get one camera on them, you know, late, like they give the Tiger camera when he's nine over.
Correct. Just give me a quick shot of it.
That's all, you know. But I need the story, man. I don't need the Cinderellas late in my NCAA tournament. Get out of there. Give me the best.
Mel, are you going to watch any of the Masters at all? If you have time, I understand you have young kids. I don't. Are you going to watch any of it?
No.
Yeah, probably not. I'm not a golf fan. I don't like to golf. I don't like to watch golf. So, you know, I'm not their audience. I enjoy, though, the scenery. And the Masters is the one tournament that might lure me in because of Augusta. But I probably won't watch. But I don't like golf, so.
Yeah, when I was, my mom told me, I don't know, about a year ago, that when I was a little kid, she said, you were like 1 or 2 years old, and we would sit you in front of golf, you would watch golf. She said, as a young kid then, from that point forward, put the golf on. And I would always watch golf. I like it. I find it soothing, enjoyable. I know there are a lot of people like, oh, that's the most boring thing. I get it. I don't co-sign that. I like it. I have fun with it.
You could have been the guy on the Mike Douglas show. You could have been the little putter and being that phenom. Since you were watching golf at that age, that could have been you.
I just wasn't good enough.
That could have been you as a 17-year-old acting out with your date on a VHS tape. That could have been you.
Check me out right there. Yeah. I was three.
That could have been you putting with your dad in a van.
Yes.
On the other side of the green.
What's dad doing?
You know the stories about that van.
They did it on, was it the HBO doc,
I saw the documentary, yes.
Wow. And people who are listening go, what's he talking about? Yeah, in the HBO documentary, they said Earl would take Tiger to the range, and they would hit balls at this club at the driving range, and Earl would walk over to his van and have women in the van.
Think about this. They did that documentary, and they didn't even have the most recent crash.
No.
Like,
right.
And how all the sordid details of his life and everything that he's gone through, and didn't even have one of the most traumatic events in his life there yet. It's crazy.
Crazy. 312-332-3776. The Bears are everywhere. And your calls in 2 minutes.
Take that.